Okay, we're on page 168, Perek Lamed Aleph. We're on Pasuk Mem Ches. The last thing we were learning last week was that Yaakov and Lavan are building this monument, this heap of stones, as a covenant between them. Lavan calls it the Garsa Hadusa. Lavan calls it, and Mr. Yaakov calls it Gal Eid. And last week we went into the whole thing why Gal Eid is connected to Lag BaOmer, about breaking the barrier between the higher and the lower, and it's a temporary barrier, so the barrier is made with the intent of breaking it, and that's why Hashem, the whole concept of Matan Torah, was to break the barrier between higher and lower, or between the secrets of Torah and the revealed parts of Torah, and so on. So the Pasuk in Mem Ches says, Le'yemer Lavan said, Agal Azeh, that this mound is aid as a witness between me and you today. In other words, this is the witness of the covenant. That's why it's called Gal Eid. Gal is the monument of Eid, which is a testimony. And therefore, he called it Gal Eid. He called it Gal Eid. Now, the question is, if Lavan called it Yigarsa Hadusa, why is all of a sudden Lavan changing it to Gal Eid? Yaakov called it Gal Eid. Lavan called it Yigarsa Hadusa. So yet we find that Lavan is changing the name to Gal Eid. So some of Farshim learn, the Ramban learns, that Lavan basically gave in, so to speak. He called it one name, Yaakov called it a different name. He basically gave in that it should be called Yigarsa, Gal Eid. And other Mefarshim learn.
What does mean Gal Eid?
Gal Eid is that the Gal, the mount, should be a witness, a testimony between Yaakov and Lavan. But it says, some of Farshim learned that Taka Lavan didn't call it Gal Eid, even though the Pasuk calls it that Lavan said Gal Eid, but Lavan really kept it Yigarsa Hadusa. But what does it mean? So we find many times, for instance, the classic example is when Moshe Rabbeinu was named Moshe by Pari's daughter, and she said, Kimina Mayim Mishisihu, she drew him out of the water. That's why she called him Moshe. So the Das Kenim Balatesis over there asks the question, but she spoke Egyptian. And Moshe is a Hebrew word. That she drew him out of the water. So how does the name Moshe get if she only spoke Egyptian? And the Das Kenim answers that she called him an Egyptian name that in Hebrew means Moshe. But the same thing over here. Alkein Kadosh Megali, even though Lavan is speaking, he really called it Yigarsa Hadusa. But the Lavan is, the Pasuk is saying that this is Gal Eid, this is what the Hebrew version of whatever Lavan called it. Okay, so now he says, what is this a testimony of? What's Lavan saying this is a testimony? So the Sipurna says, he's saying, this is what I'm about to say. Lavan said, this is a testimony of the thing. Now he continues and he says, V'amitzpah asher amar. That mitzvah literally means a watchtower. Mitzvah means a watchtower. Now, it was a high place that supposedly you can watch what's going on in the lower levels. That's the way Ramban learns in Rashi. The Ramban himself learns that this is just another name for, so there's three names. Yigarsa, Adusa, Gal Eid, and Mitzvah, which is a watchtower. In other words, that Hashem should watch to make sure that this covenant is being kept between all the people. So he says, "Vamitzpah asher amar," and this watchtower. So he says, "Yitzef Hashem, may Hashem watch beini ubeinecha, between me and you. Ki nisaset ish mireyehu, when we are out of each other's sight." And this is interesting. Lavan is saying that, you know, we were making a deal over here. So I want Hashem to watch, to make sure that both sides are keeping the deal. I mean, if from all people, Lavan is the one saying this. Yeah, look who's talking. So that's what he says. May Hashem watch. The question is also, may Hashem keep watch? Who's saying this? Some people said Lavan said it. Some people said Hashem is saying it. Most people say Lavan was the one that said it. And he says, Ki nisasi ish mireyel, when we will be out of each other's sight. So what's the covenant? What am I demanding that this mound will be a testimony? Im ta'ana es b'nei sai, if you will treat my daughters not nicely. V'im tikach noshim al b'nei sai, if you will marry other women in addition to my daughters. Lavan didn't want that Yaakov should marry any more wives, because then his daughters are going to suffer from it, so to speak. Ein ishimanu, although nobody's around, nobody's going to be, because the Mefarshim say, after this encounter of Lavan and Yaakov, they never met each other anymore, the Medrash says. That was it. So Lavan is saying to Yaakov, listen, even though we're not going to see each other anymore, but I want you to, this is going to be a testimony that nothing's going to happen. Re'ei Elikim Eid Beini U'Beinachi Shasi, that God is my witness between, the witness between you and I. What does it mean Hashem is the witness? There's a din in the Chumash that when there's a person committed a sin and they were warned by witnesses, it says, Yada Eidem Tia Beibari Shayna Lahamisei, that the first ones to kill him should be the hands of the witnesses. So he says, the witness, Hashem, is going to be the first one to punish you for, if you, Lavan, if you, he's not saying his part of the deal. We're going to see the way Lavan broke the deal completely. And he was punished because of it. But he says, Hashem should be the witness between me and you. We find a similar thing later on in Chumash, all the way at the end of Chumash, when it says, Azino Hashemayim v'adabeira, listen heavens and I will speak, v'sishma ha'aretz, and the earth should hear, imri fi, the words of my mouth. So Rashi says, what is Moshe Rabbeinu mixing in the heavens and earth over here? See, Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jews, listen, I'm going to die one day, you're going to die one day, we're not permanent. So who's going to be a permanent witness? The things that are going to exist forever. Who is that? The heaven and earth, they're going to exist forever. So who can be good witnesses? Heaven and earth. And then Rashi adds later on a Chumash. And the second point is that the witnesses are the first ones to punish. So if the Jews will keep Torah mitzvahs, the heavens will give the rain and the earth will give its produce, the witnesses will be part of it. If the Jews sin, so who's going to be the first one to punish the Jews? The witnesses. And we'll soon see that there's a whole story he brings on over here. It's really a Daskin in Balatais. It brings on a famous story from the Gemara. Daskin Balatais brings it down. Men and Mefarshim brings it down. It's a phenomenal story. A girl was once drawing water from a well, and she was on her way to her father's house. She fell into a well. So into a deep well of water. And a young man walked by, and he heard screams and yells, and he saw there was a girl in the well. So he says, if I get you out, will you marry me? So the girl says, yeah. She didn't have any choice, basically. She said, yeah, I'll marry you. But after he got her out, she agreed, and they swore to one another that they'll never marry anybody else. It was young people. They're never going to marry anybody else.
He at least saw her.
But they said, one second. They said, but who's going to be a witness? Who's going to witness that this is the promise?
The water.
So there was a weasel passing by.
What's 6 weeks?
A weasel were passing by. And they said, the well and the weasel should be the witnesses. Okay, they should be the witnesses for this marriage. The girl kept her promise. She never remarried. But the boy went and married somebody else. His wife gave birth to a boy. The boy's wife gave birth to a boy, and a weasel bit him, and the baby died. Then she had another child, and they fell into the well, and they died. The distraught mother says to him, what's causing us to suffer so much? So the husband reminded himself that he made a promise to marry a certain girl, and that the well and the weasel will be the witnesses of that marriage. So therefore, the well and the weasel gave the punishment. So here he brings down the story, even the Tosafot doesn't say, but here he brings down the story. So the wife said, you know what, divorce me and marry that other woman. I mean, you promised her, you know, whatever, marry her. So therefore, Lavan is saying, and we're going to see what happens over here, that Bilam, who was the son of Be'er, Bilam ben Be'er, So some people say Be'er himself was Lavan, or Be'er was Lavan's son. So in other words, Bilam was either Lavan's son or Lavan's grandson. What happened to Lavan? Later on, when he went to curse the Jews, Lavan made a promise that we're going to be good to one another. And here his son and grandson are going to curse the Jews. So what happened to Bilam? Number one, as we know the story, that his foot crushed against the wall. You know, when the donkey saw the malach. So the wall, which was this gal, this wall between Yaakov and Lavan, punished Lavan by crushing his foot. And then later on, he also, Yaakov put a sword into the heap, it says, to make it another part of the witnesses. And therefore it says, later on, Bilam ben Beor, they killed with a sword. So Bilam was punished by the same witnesses that Lavan made with Yaakov, that they're going to have this treaty between the two of them. So people should be careful when they say things about witnesses, because it has a spiritual legal force to it, so to speak. Okay, so he says, Pasuk Nanala, Vayemer Lavan LeYaakov, Lavan says to Yaakov, Hinei Agala Zeh, this mound, here's the mound, Vihinei Amatseva, here's the monument, Asher Yarisa that I have cast, Beinu, Beinecha, between you and I. In other words, this is it, this is the testimony, this is between you and I, and it's interesting, even though really Yaakov set up the Matzeva. Who made the Matzeva? The Pasuk says, Yaakov said to the people, Liktu Avanim and do it. But Lavan took the credit for himself, that he made it, even though really Yaakov made it. And some of us should learn, the fact that Yaakov told Lavan's people to gather the stones, so therefore it was really considered that Lavan made it. Okay, so he says, Eida gal azeh, this gal, ve'eida matzeven, this monument, im ani le'ever elecha se gal azeh, I will not cross over, and your side of the mount, v'mato le'saver elai es gal azeh, and you should not pass over on my side of the mount, v'se matzeva azeh, or pass over this monument, l'ro for anything evil. So this was the covenant they made, that there has to be a separation between Lavan and Yaakov. They will never cross the mount to hurt anybody. But like we learned last week, in the spiritual level over here, what's going on, that the fact that it was a temporary mound, by definition, it wasn't a wall, it was a mound, which is a temporary heap of stones. So therefore, Chassidus explains, the Rebbe explains in a Maimer, the fact that it was only a temporary shows that the purpose ultimately wasn't to get rid of it. And that's why we learned Gal is in a Lag Ba'emer, which broke the barrier between the hidden parts of the Torah and the revealed parts of the Torah that Hashem wanted eventually. Why did Hashem make the wall between higher and lower? Like we learned by the Matan Torah or Lag Ba'emer, whatever it is. Why did Hashem make the barrier between higher and lower? Because He eventually wanted the barrier to be broken. So therefore went with a system. First He made the barrier, but it was a temporary barrier, which by definition, temporary means it's not permanent. It's not going to last. Okay, so then they continue saying the following. Elokei Avram, the God of Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, and the God, Elokei Avram, Elokei Nachar, the God of Avram, the God of Nachar, and Rashi explains, what does it mean, the double expression over here, basically? The God of Avram is holy. The God of Nachor was idol worshipping. So Lavan's using both sides of the coin, you know. Your God and my God. Yishpatu Beinenu should judge between us. Elokei Avim, the God of their father, meaning Terach. In other words, the God of Avram, the God of Nachor, the God of their father, meaning Terach, should be the judge.
He's mentioning first Elokei Avraham.
Nachor was Avram's brother, but he was an idol worshipper. So Lavan is saying, listen, your gods, my gods, you know.
But the first is mentioning Elokei Avraham.
Yeah, two more brothers. The end of Parshas Noach. No. Avram had a brother, two brothers. Yeah. Yeah. Seemingly so. Okay. So it says, okay, why, the Radak says, why did Lavan mention Avram and Nachor? Why didn't he say Yitzchok and Besuel? Yaakov's father was Yitzchok. Lavan's father was Besuel. He should have said, the God of your father, the God of my father. Either because they were still alive, or the Radak learned because they were more famous.
But Besuel was not alive already.
No, but Yitzchok was still alive. Okay, in other words, each one said their own God, so to speak. Vayishava Yaakov, and Yaakov swore, v'pachad aviv Yitzchok, with the fear of with the God of whom his father feared. Now, it says that because Lavan wanted to make this contract, this deal with idol worshipping, Yaakov refused to do it. He said, I'm not going to do it. So he said what he did was, he only swore by his God, by Hashem of Yitzchok. He didn't do it in any way to have anybody else. And also, the Mefarshim say, what's the expression over here again? Pachad Aviv Yitzchok. The Mefarshim explained it refers to the Akedah. He swore with the concept of the Akedah, which was the fear of Yitzchok, when Yitzchok was being brought as a korban. So he swore with that holy object, so to speak, of the fact that Yitzchok had was willing to give up his life. Yizbech Yaakov Zevach Bahar. Yaakov made a sacrifice. Vayikra Lechav, he called to his brothers Lecho Lechem to eat bread. Vayechlu Lechem, they ate bread. Vayalino Bahar, and they slept in the mountain. Now, usually it means that they basically eat. Rashi says that they shechted it for a feast. Shachat behema lemishta, Rashi says. Normally, though, zavach means he actually is a sacrifice. So, two ways of learning. Either they made a karban that they ate the meat of, or he actually made it for the party. And he called everybody. No, it says, Vayikra Lachav, he called all the friends, the kinsmen, meaning Lavan's kin, everybody together. Because on the day of the covenant, they were all brothers. Lavan broke it the next day. But as far as that day, they made the covenant. They were all called brothers.
What is important that they slept there?
Huh?
What is important to mention there that they slept there? Vayalinu Bahar.
Because when you sleep over a deal, it's more permanent. When you sleep over the deal, it's like you sleep on it.
Yeah.
So it became more of a permanent deal. Okay, what does it mean, lecho lechem, to break bread? Is, as the Mefarshim say, obviously they didn't only eat bread. They probably ate other stuff too, but bread is the main food, so therefore that's called Lecho Lechem. Vayashkim Lavan Babaker, Lavan got up in the morning, early in the morning. Vayinashik Lebonov, he kissed his sons, and again, who is his sons? His grandsons, or the Banav, some Mefarshim learn, Yaakov's sons. And as Banav means his sons. So whose sons are they? Lavan didn't have any sons to kiss here. So either it means his grandsons, but it means Lavan's sons, but Lavan's grandsons. Or the Targum Yonasan says that he kissed Yaakov's sons. His sons refers to Yaakov. Vayivarech Esem, and he blessed them. Vayelech, and he went. Vayoshev Lavan, Lamkeme, Lavan went home. Now, he says, the Chazal learned from here, even though Bechlal, anytime somebody gives you a bracha, take it. You know, even a bracha's hedyet, a bracha of a simpleton, should not be easy in your own eyes. But, it says that Lavan's bracha over here, he meant. Because who did he bless? His grandchildren. He didn't bless Yaakov. His grandchildren, he probably meant it. So therefore it says the bracha has to be total sincerity. In order to get a bracha, to give a bracha, to receive a bracha, you have to believe in it. If you're not sincere in the giving or in the receiving of the bracha, it doesn't work. Okay, when a person gives a bracha, you have to be, we mentioned, there's a story with two women. I mentioned not long ago here, I think, there's a story with two women that didn't have children, and they went into the Rebbe to get a bracha for children, and the Rebbe gave them both brachas. One had a child and one didn't. They said, why? Because the one, when they went out, they right away bought a baby carriage. You were so certain that it was going to happen, they got a baby carriage. But you also, at the same time, you need a keli, you need a vessel to be able to get a bracha, rather than just getting brachas.
We have a question.
What?
Why Lavan didn't kiss his daughters?
It says, Livnesav.
Livnesav too?
My father didn't kiss his daughters. It says in the pasuk, Yinashik Levana v'Levnesav. First of all, you can't bring a proof from Lavan. But it was... But he kissed his sons and daughters.
Daughters, maybe it was the granddaughters. like his sons. Like his sons, it was the grandsons. Maybe his daughters and granddaughters.
Yeah, but Banav he didn't have. Benaisav he did have. Benaisav could be which granddaughters did he have? Which granddaughters did he have yet?
It was the
Dina, yeah, that's all.
Every Shevet Nolad Bat.
Yeah, but not at least openly in Chumash. Okay. Yaakov, Yashav Lavanam came and Lavan went back to his place. Now, it says, what do you mean Lavan went back to his place? Of course, where did he go back? So it says an interesting medrash. The medrash says that Lavan went back to his poverty state that was there before Yaakov came. Before Yaakov came to Lavan, Lavan was poor. When Yaakov came to Lavan, in those 20 years, Lavan became very wealthy. And the Medrash says that when Lavan came home, when Lavan chased Yaakov, robbers entered his house and took away everything he owned. So when it says Lavan went l'mkaymai, he went back to his original state of poverty. And another Medrash learns that what happened is that Lavan went back to his old scheme of wickedness. And the Medrash says over here, what did Lavan do after this peaceful departure between him and Yaakov? So the Medrash says, the first thing he did, and listen, this is right when you make a treaty. You go make a treaty, you go home. What did Lavan do the first thing? This is what I'm going to read what he did. When he returned home, he dispatched his son and a representative delegation of his family to Esau. He ordered them to incite Esav by relating a tale how Yaakov came penniless to Lavan's house, seeking refuge after outwitting Esav, how Lavan befriended him and gave him two daughters in marriage, how Yaakov prospered immensely and fled secretly while Lavan went to shear his sheep, and even stole Lavan's gods. I left him with everything he owns, the message to Esav concluded, at the mount of this, if you wish, you can intercept him and do to him as whatever you please. So basically, Lavan sent a message to Esav, you know what, go kill Yaakov and take away all his money.
How did he know that Esav and Yaakov were fighting?
Everybody
it was on
knows.
The internet.
Everybody
no,
knows.
I'm saying there was like internet over there. And
how did people know things in those days?
It was far.
Hey, Yaakov came to his house running away from
messenger.
First of all, Rashi said before, no. Rashi did say before that when Yaakov came empty-handed,
he
told everything that happened. So Yitaka told Lavan that eighth of the whole story. Rashi says, yeah. But even if not, Bechlal in those days, there were mess. People knew. People knew things. I mean, it wasn't as quick as today's world with faxes and telephones and everything, but people knew things. So it took a little longer to get there. But people traveled back and forth and so on. Now, what happens? Okay, so Lavan's messengers related the message to Esav, who became angry. His whole hatred toward Yaakov was ignited, and he set out a mighty army to go kill Yaakov. Meanwhile, Lavan's messengers went to Rivka. Okay? And they said that Esav is advancing to kill Yaakov. So Rivka then took 72 men who met Yaakov, and Yaakov said, this camp is destined to me from God, and they said, this is what's going on. And that Rivka said, you should arm yourself against Esav and send them presents and do whatever you want to do, like we learned in the beginning of Ayishlach, and Yaakov did it.
Why would the messengers go to Rivka? That was like against what Lavan would want.
Yeah, but this is what they wanted. They wanted that everybody should fight against each other. They wanted action. Yeah, that's what they wanted. He's going to tell him, and he's going to tell him, and that's the way crooked people work.
Laban didn't want to get back at Yaakov. That wasn't his goal.
He did, but he think he liked Esav too. He didn't like Esav too. These guys, nobody liked each other. So he wanted him to get him, and him, him, and everybody should get killed, and Laban should go get all the money. That's probably what he wanted.
But he lost everything.
Yep. Okay.
Before Esav sold Yaakov the birthright, did Yaakov honor him as an older brother?
He must have. Yaakov kept Torah, no? If you have to honor an older brother, I'm sure Yaakov did it.
He was abused by him?
He wasn't. Yaakov, Yishmael was, Yitzchak was abused by Yishmael. Yaakov wasn't abused by Esav. It doesn't say Yaakov was abused by Esav.
No, he didn't.
Yishmael, it says Yishmael used to fight with him, with Yitzchak. But hey, it doesn't say in Chumash. I mean, did they? I mean, twins never get along. I don't know what you know. I'm sure they fought.
But
well, maybe the holiness of Yaakov, I mean, the unholiness of Esav threatened in that way.
Who knows? Okay. So Lavan went back Limkeme to his old style of idol worshipping, or back to his poverty. The Yaakov Halach Ladarke. By the way, this is the source of the expression "Jack hit the road." That's this pasuk, by the way. Yaakov Halach Ladarke. Yaakov went on his way. The Yivku Bei Malachi Alekim, and the angels of Hashem encountered him. And before we get into the angel story of what happened, these were the angels that left a long time ago. This pasuk Yaakov Halach Ladarke is a very interesting pasuk. There was a custom in the city of Lubavitch, and it was done by the Rebbe also, that Matzoi Simchas Torah, when Simchas Torah was over, they gave a pasuk on the table, and they said, Yaakov Halach Ladarke. Yaakov went on his way. And the Rebbe once explained that there's Yaakov Halach Ladarke in various stages. There's Yaakov Halach Ladarke and Simchas Torah, and Shabbos Bereshis, and Noyach, the whole times of Yaakov going on his way. And the Rebbe actually many, many times tore apart the three words, Yaakov Halach Ladarke. And just to understand it, the month of Tishrei, that this pasuk is when you leave Tishrei, you have the concept of Yaakov Halach Ladarke. The month of Tishrei is the month that's called the fair. What do you mean the fair? It's when the olden times, the business people would go to the market, to the fair, and they would load on with goods, and they would come home, and they would unload it in business, you know, sell it. That's what they went to the fair. They would load up a lot of goods with wagons, and then they would come home, and they would sell their goods. The same thing it says, in the month of Tishrei, you get loaded up. The month of Tishrei is called Chodesh HaShvi, the seventh month. The seventh month is the month for Shvi, comes the word Soveya, full. The month of Tishrei is full. You have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is seriousness, and you have Sukkot and Simchas Torah, which is happiness. It's all, you know, a whole bunch of all varieties you have in the month of Tishrei. Whatever you want, you have serious Simcha in between, fasting, lively days, tshuva, mitzvahs, whatever you want, you have in the month of Tishrei. So what happens basically in the month of Tishrei is a Jew loads on a lot of goods on themselves. But now you have to go home. You have to go back into your day-to-day living. And you have to unload everything that you absorbed in the month of Tishrei. You have to unpack throughout the year. That is the observance of Torah mitzvahs. So the Rebbe says, Yaakov, Halach Ladarkei. Yaakov refers to the low level of the Jew. The Jews are called Yaakov, and they're called Yisrael. Right? Unlike the way it was by Avram, when his name was changed from Avram to Avraham, the Torah says your name will not be called Avram anymore, it's going to be called Avraham. And therefore the Gemara says, whoever calls Avraham Avram is transgressing a negative commandment, because the Torah says your name is not Avram anymore. So the Gemara asks, If so, when Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael, Hashem also said to him, your name is not going to be called Yaakov anymore, only Yisrael. So if somebody calls Yaakov Yaakov, they should also be transgressing a negative commandment. And the Gemara answers, over there is different, because in the next pasuk, right after Hashem changes his name, Hashem calls him Yaakov again. Okay? So therefore, by Avram, once Hashem changed the name, that was it. It was never called anymore Avram, only Avraham. But Yaakov and Yisrael, we find both names were used. So Chassidus explains, what does this mean? Why Taka, by Yaakov and Yisrael are the two names, and by Avram was only changed to Avraham. In fact, you have even in the same, we're talking about Bilam over here, Lavan's son and grandson. What did Bilam say? Matevo alecha Yaakov mishkan Yisachah Yisrael. That Bilam said. What did he say in the same pasuk? He said, "Alacha Yaakov, Mishkan Yisachar Yisrael." What's the difference? So Chassidus explains: by Jews, there's two levels. There's a level of Yaakov, and there's a level of Yisrael. Just like we find when the Jews were blessed by Hashem, sometimes they were blessed kekoich veHashemayim. You're going to be like the stars of the heaven, and sometimes they were blessed kafar haaretz. Your children are mean like the dirt of the ground. Sometimes they are called kechel hayom, like the sand of the sea. So sometimes they're called like earthly things, dirt and sand, and sometimes they're likened to the stars of the heaven. So why are they called sometimes dirt and sometimes stars? I mean, there's a big difference. So the difference is, it's explained, that when the Jews are on a high level, they're likened to the stars. When the Jews are on a high level, they're called Yisrael. When the Jews are on a low level, they're called Yaakov, which means heel. Yaakov is heel, okay. That's why he was called, because he was holding on to his heel. And Yisrael is the Jew on a high level. Like Yisrael, we said, is Sar Kel, or if you switch around the letters of Yisrael, it's Li Rosh, it's a head. So Yisrael refers to the Jews on a lofty level. Yaakov refers to a Jew on a low level. So Yaakov, holach l'darkei, is even the low level of the Jew, is what's called holach. What does holach mean? There's a pasuk that says about the difference between angels and neshamis. The pasuk says, v'nasati l'cha mahalchim, Bein ha'emdem ha'ele. I will give you, make you goers amongst the standers. The people that stand. So it says, this is the difference between a neshama and a malach. An angel is called omed, standing in the same place. Even though malachim also go higher and higher, but they're gradually higher. It's not a big jump. Mahalech means not only going, but jumping a lot. So what the pasuk says, in the Sati Lacha Mahalchim, Chassidus explains, I'm going to make you a goer amongst the standers. Angels always stay in the same place. Neshamis are always mahalech, always going. Like it says, Ein lehem menucha yelchum michayel lechoyu. There's a halicha, they go from level to level. Holach refers to a Jew having to go from one level to a much higher level. And Ledarkei, Darkei can mean a number of things. It can mean simply Ledarkei of Hashem. Or it could also mean Ledarkei, even in the Jew's way, he can also become a Mahalech, he could become infinitely greater. There's a pasuk that's brought down in Pirkei Avos, B'chol d'rochecha d'ehu. In all your ways, know God. What does it mean? People think that the only way a Jew can grow in Judaism is when you do mitzvahs. When you do what Hashem commands us to do, so then you become greater. But in business, how can I become a greater Jew in business? How can I become a greater Jew when I eat or sleep and do things like that? So the pasuk says, B'chol d'rochecha, in your ways, not in God's mitzvahs, in your things, da'ehu, you should know God. What does this mean? When a Jew does business, and he does business the right way, and he does it for the right purposes, Chassidus explains, you can elevate yourself more than when you do a mitzvah. You can elevate yourself to a higher level than when you do a mitzvah. Why? So Chassidus explains a very beautiful concept, a very unique concept. People enjoy new things. You know, when you expect something from somebody and they do it, you don't get so excited. When you don't expect something from somebody and they do it, you get excited. Chassidus gives the mashal. There's something called Tzipor HaMedaberes. Tzipor HaMedaberes in simple English is called a parrot. Parakeet. A bird that talks. And people pay a lot of money to get a parrot. And everybody gets excited when a parrot, the bird, talks. Yeah? The question is, people talk much better than the bird. People talk much better than the bird. Yeah, when people talk, you tell them to be quiet. And when the bird talks, everybody crowds around. There's a big simcha. If you're talking about talking, the bird's a tzeshvacha talker. It's a pretty bad, weak talker. Yet, why does everybody spend so much money when a bird talks? Because that a person talks, it's normal. That's regular, that a person should talk. So what's excitement? When a bird talks, that's exciting. So if for excitement, people get excited. It says in Chassidus that a neshama in Gan Eden, neshama to be close to God, God has no satisfaction from that. He said, what do you expect? A neshama, part of God, without a Yetzer Hara, without a body, it doesn't mitzvah, it was a big deal. So what does God do? God likes excitement. So what does he do? God sends down a neshama into a body, where a body is, you know, a body, and the Yetzer Hara is the Yetzer Hara. And over there, a person does a mitzvah, that's excitement. That's a chiddush, it's something new. You know, it's something exciting for Hashem. Chassidus takes it, the Rebbe and the Maimon takes it even a step further. When a Jew does a mitzvah that they're commanded to do and they do it, it's also not a real big excitement. Because after all, that's what religion is, right? There's even a bigger excitement. When a Jew does things which are yours, meaning not Torah mitzvahs, mundane, day-to-day, weekday living stuff. And over there, they make it godly. Over there, they know God. That's the ultimate pleasure and enjoyment that God gets. And therefore, it says in Chassidus that a person, when they do godliness in business and things like that, that's a greater satisfaction to Hashem, and they accomplish much more than when they do mitzvahs.
Can you give an example?
If a Jew does business, and in business, they utilize the business to bring people closer to Yiddishkeit, or in the business they say words of Torah, or like it says in a Yom Yom, that a businessman could see more divine providence in Hashkacha Pratis than a person that's in a yeshiva whole day.
Or they give charity.
They give charity. Another one, they utilize the business, they come in contact with a lot more people that they can encourage to keep mitzvahs. No, they can encourage to keep mitzvahs, and they can encourage to even a guy to keep their seven mitzvahs, whatever it is. So then the Jew is utilizing business, which is even lower than mitzvahs, and they become even greater than the Jew that does mitzvahs. And that's the concept of Yaakov Holach Ledarkei. Even the low level of the Jew, even the level of Yaakov himself, can become a mahalich, can become actually a goer. The darkei, not only in Hashem's ways, but darkei means Yaakov's ways. Yaakov holach ledarkei does not mean he went in God's ways. Yaakov holach ledarkei means Yaakov went in Yaakov's ways. That means even in the heel things, in the lower things, the Jew could become a mahalach to reach infinitely great to the extent that yivku b'malachay elokim, that the angels of God meet you. Yes, sir.
In business, you're saying, if a non-Jewish company overpays you, is it a mitzvah to give it back?
If it can cause a kiddush Hashem, if it can sanctify the name of Hashem, yes. The mitzvah is to sanctify the name of God.
Uh-oh.
Is it safe to say that right now, this our generation, the Jews are in a pretty low level?
We are on a low level. We are in the heels. We're called in the Zohar, our generation is called Ikvas of the Mashiach. The heel right before Mashiach.
Drunk.
It means either heel because we're the last generation, but heel is also the thickest, coarsest skin, is the heel, the lowest. So from one side, we're the last generation before Mashiach, but from the other side also, Mesiris Nefesh, self-sacrifice, is more in the heel than in the head. Because the head has brains. Brains don't allow you so much to have self-sacrifice. Mesiris Nefesh. The heel has no brains, so there's more Mesiris Nefesh in the heel than there is in the head. So our generation has more Mesiris Nefesh than the earlier generations. And therefore, when the Zayir says, when Moshe Rabbeinu foresaw our generation before Mashiach, he saw us. And the Mesiris Nefesh we have for keeping Yiddishkeit, he felt unav, he felt inferior, secondary. Yeah.
Rabbi, I want to get back to Big John's point. You're working for a non-Jew, you're Jewish, and your paycheck is twice what it should be. I think just because you want to keep your job, you'll give back the half that isn't yours. I don't think you'll do it because God will give you a mitzvah.
It's not true. If the bank makes a mistake with you, you have the right to keep it.
Opposite.
Come on, let's be honest with each other. Let's be honest with each other.
Halachically, you might be able to keep the money. Yes, granted. But if the Gemara tells the story, I think it was with Rabbi Yechanan, he gave back a lost article that he didn't have to give back, and he mamash sanctified the name of God because of it, and made a Kiddush Hashem, which is that Shem Shemayim Yiskadesh HaYadecha, that the name of God should become sanctified through the Jew. And therefore it's important that that should happen.
Maybe the Goy will tell this is a stupid Jew, and it will be any...
I don't think the Goy is going to say it's a stupid Jew for giving back the money. They might say it, but down deep they'll do respect. Yeah.
Is it true that the third name of Jacob is Yeshurun?
There's Yeshurun, there's Yisrael. He has a bunch of names.
Israel is when
Yeshurun?
You go to Israel and...
Kras Yisrael,
the Jewish in exile is Jacob. The Jewish
whatever. But now, basically, the two names that Chumash deals with, basically, is the name of Yaakov and Yisrael. Yaakov is the Jew, it refers to the lower levels of the Jew. Not in Bechal, when the Jews are on a high level and lower level. Yaakov refers to the lower things of the Jew, meaning the action levels of the Jew, the heel levels of the Jew. And even then, a Jew could become halach, he can even be a mahalech, through their own ways of, not only through mitzvahs, by their own doing and accomplishments in their day-to-day living, they can do it.
You know what we used to call Yaakov when we were kids? Jake.
Right. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Now, the Mefarshim also explain, just like it says, Lavan went back limkaimai to his evil ways. So it says, Yaakov, this is going back to the simple meaning now. Yaakov halach ladarkei, that Yaakov went back to his way. Meaning, even though he was 20 years in Lavan's house, as Yaakov is soon going to say him, Lavan garti, that he still kept the ways of Yaakov. He wasn't influenced by the 20 years in Lavan's house. And you have to say that that is a remarkable thing. That somebody in 20 years in a negative environment with no community. I mean, Yaakov just had the little kids, you know, but until then, Yaakov here with no community.
Four wives community.
Yeah, wives, come on.
That's wives.
They count.
That's the community to him.
Yeah, but it was hard for him to find a minion with all those wives.
Oh, they were his minion.
They were young kids, they weren't bar mitzvah yet. Until they killed, until Shimon and Levi killed the whole city of Shechem, they weren't bar mitzvah. Yeah, but it still says, yes, it's true. His wife is definitely a powerful, positive influence on Yaakov Avinu. There was no question at all that Yaakov and his wives, I mean, really helped him out a lot.
Yeah, they make great halacha.
But it's still remarkable that Yaakov Avinu, and by the way, what is the show? And this, again, everything in Torah is a lesson. It shows a Jew that there's no excuse to say that I was in an environment that was not conducive to Torah mitzvahs, and therefore I fell down. Because somebody already prefaced the way already. There's a precedence that Yaakov Avinu did it 20 years old by himself, and he still remained Taryag Mitzvah Shemarti, he kept all 613 mitzvahs. So if somebody's going to come along and say, well, I can't, you know, I can't do it, it's not going to happen. Okay, let's learn the last pasuk. So the malachim came to meet him. Now, who are these malachim? So the Ebenezer says he was the angels that came to help him. He was the angels of the Israeli angels that came down to start taking care of him. The angels of Chutz La'aretz left now, and then the new angels came with these things. Okay. Now, also the angels. The angels were there to help to protect Yaakov, and some of us say a completely different thing. That now that he left Lavan, God was finally able to come back to him, to reveal himself to him. While Yaakov was by Lavan, Hashem didn't reveal. Only at the end, all the way at the end, when Hashem came to him and said, go home. You know? But even then, like it says, when Hashem came to him, he says, Hashem came to me in a dream, you know, but the Hashem real revelation, Vayivku by Malachi Elikim, was now when Yaakov left Lavan, and then he was able to get back.
What is Machanaim?
We didn't get there yet.
Wait, wasn't it, don't you think Yaakov needed it like the most when he was in Lavan's house?
Yeah, but we find also when Avram was with Light, Hashem didn't come to Avram, and it said, Achri, parted Light me'imei. After Light left him, that's when Hashem came to Avram.
But that was for a very short amount of time.
So what?
Doesn't
20 matter.
Years.
20 years.
It wasn't Yaakov's fault that he was in that environment, though.
It says that even though, nevertheless, the fact that he was in that camp, it says that he didn't come, Hashem didn't want to reveal himself because Hashem doesn't come into a place of tumah, of impurity.
So he couldn't go out? Like Moshe and Aaron did that time?
How did he go out? Where
they
was
went
he supposed
out of the
to
city.
Go? Yeah, but he was nowhere to go. It was all of, that whole place was Charan. The whole area was affected by him.
So are we waiting for God to come and tell us to go home? Like Yaakov?
Yeah, he's called the Mashiach.
Yeah, it's true.
When Yaakov saw them, he said, "Machne alikim zeh, this is the camp of Hashem." He called the name of the place Machanoim because there's two camps of angels. The angels from Chutz La'aretz left, the angels from Eretz Yisrael came, and therefore he actually had these things together. In fact, the Baal HaTurim says, though, and the word Machanoim, he says, is it beginning of next week's parsha, right?
It's a holiday.
Yeah, overnight class.
Not Monday
night.
Oh, sorry.
Machanaim, the Baal Turim says, is Me'esach Hayolim Noto Yaakov Malachim. Machanaim is an acronym. Me'esach Hayol, from that army, Noto Yaakov Malachim, Yaakov took angels to send, in the next pasuk, Yishlach Yaakov Malachim to send to Esav.
Tell it again, please,
which is acronym? Me'esach Me'esam Chayolim Natal Yaakov Malachim. Took angels.
Thank you.
By the way, everybody's invited.